ASISU Speaks is a weekly program on KISU-FM focused on Idaho State University from a student's perspective. This is Christoph Kisun. Today in the studio, I am joined by Sam Castro, a senior pursuing a bachelor's in general business at Idaho State. Sam is currently the president for Lambda Theta Alpha, Latin Sorority Incorporated, on the ISU campus, and she also just returned from a semester of study abroad in Spain. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Christoph.
How's it going?
Good, really, really good today.
Good. I'm so happy you're in the studio here with me today.
No, yeah, thank you for inviting me. I was so nervous, but now I'm really excited.
So, you know, I've been just trying to think of guests that I can bring onto the show. Mm-hmm. You know, people that can speak on not only why ISU is so great, but can kind of offer a different perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think you've been very involved in, you know, a lot of diversity initiatives on campus, you know, being president of the Latin sorority, mm-hmm. great experiences. So I think having you here would be very beneficial for our community to kind of get your little perspective.
Perfect. Thank you for having me to listen to little old me.
You know, and I've known you for a few years. And I think it'd be good for the public just to kind of go a little bit into your background.
Okay.
You know, so how did Sam even end up at ISU, right? Like, where are you from?
Okay. So, little old Sam. Uh-huh. I am from Burley, Idaho. It's this tiny little town, like an hour away from Pokey. Mm-hmm. And actually, the reason I decided to even come to school or give it a shot, I owe it all to a young woman by the name of Maria Lemos. She's married now. It's Maria McCabe. Mm-hmm. She was my trio
Maria
advisor.
Maria McCabe, yes.
So if it wasn't for her, I would have never came to school.
Wow.
Because she looked like me, she sounded like me, and I had a lot of questions and concerns, you know, coming from an immigrant family, how mm-hmm. these papers work, mm-hmm. you know.
I'm assuming being first generation college student.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything.
Right.
So if it wasn't for her to show me, like, look, these are the loopholes, or this is the things you can do, or this is how it works for us and our community. Mm-hmm. If I did not have that, I would have not came to ISU. So if it was not for her and her help and for Trio, I would have never came to ISU.
Oh my God.
So it was because of her that I went to school, and then I eventually just chose ISU because I liked that Trio was a support here on this campus heavily. So I was like, okay, they helped me get this far. Hopefully they can help me continue through my college education. So that's how I came to ISU.
Wow. So in a way, you were kind of recruited.
Indirectly.
No,
because she was like, these are your options, you know, because I asked her, like, what are the schools in Idaho? And I didn't want to go to U of I because it was too far and I didn't have a car. And I was like, and I can't pull a car in my butt. So
right,
we don't have money
course.
For that. Mm-hmm. So I was like,
limited options.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't want to take out a loan for my first year because I knew I wasn't going to have enough scholarships to cover.
Uh-huh.
And then for BSU, same, expensive in the sense of like taking out loans if I didn't have enough scholarships. So when I saw ISU and I applied and I saw all the scholarships that I could get,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of what made me choose here is because they had more money for me to come here.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, funding is super important.
Yes.
Yeah, and role models.
Exactly.
Having role models, as you said, people who look like you, people who sound like you, people mm-hmm. who understand your culture, understand
exactly.
your struggle. It makes a whole difference.
It makes the world of a difference. And then also them having like Bengal Bridge mm-hmm. was that like, okay, you can come in the summer. So 2 weeks after I graduated high school, I was in college already. And I was during the Bengal Bridge program. And that really was like, I'm so glad I did it because it was like a shock.
Right.
Of like all these new things I've never experienced, like college and being alone and this
living
new
in a little dorm.
Yeah.
And
like everything hit me at once. And I was like, this is not something we get prepared for. Like,
at all.
My mom just, you know, my mom's very religious. She sent me off with a rosary, did a little prayer, and said, best of luck. I love you. And that was it, you know?
Yeah. Like, once you have God on your side, you have anything. And I'm Ma, no.
Help me.
That.
Dude, yes. But I was like, okay, thank you. And because, you know, that's all she could offer me. And I remember when I would cry and call her, like, I don't know what to do, like, all she would say, she would just feel really bad. She's like, I'm so sorry because I don't understand what you're going through, but you should call your aunt or call Maria and ask her what to do. And it was so beautiful in the sense that my mom was willing to listen to me, but she was also aware that her experience could not help me.
Right. She was aware of her own limitations.
Exactly.
And she had to give you the support you needed to mm-hmm. go outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it was really awesome. So that's how I got to ISU.
Nice. That's like, you know, I relate a lot. I'm also a first-generation college student. Mm-hmm. And when I was leaving Trinidad and trying to come to the US and go through all the paperwork applying for the visa. And
dude, yes. Mm-hmm.
There was nobody in my family who could help me. Mm-mm. There was literally nobody who had ever went to college in America before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had an uncle who studied in the UK years ago. And I have siblings, so I educated, but in Trinidad. Mm-hmm. So being that first person to try to, like, breach that international border mm-hmm. of study was chaotic and scary. And mm-hmm. there were times when I wanted to give up.
Yeah.
But as you said, like, mentorship mattered. Like, the international programs recruiters who recruited me, they were just nothing but supportive and helpful, and they answered so many questions for me, and I mm-hmm. could just call them and be like, I have no idea what I'm doing with this form. Like, what do I do?
Exactly.
And it wouldn't have been possible without that support.
Exactly. And same, like, exactly what you're saying about, like, mm-hmm. Not having no one in your family to help you with the visa. Like, I get it, because when I was applying to go to Spain, ever since I started school and I found out that you could travel abroad for the same price, I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I'm going to figure it out. I'm going
to
do it.
It was something you had to do.
I just have to do it. Mm-hmm. So then I was lucky enough, because through the sorority, there was already a few sisters, older sisters than me, who had gone already and came back. Mm-hmm. So they became like my lifelines, if you will, mm-hmm. because I was like, I've never done this before, and no one in their family had done it before. So we became our connections in our family and how to guide us to do that process of how to get to Spain. Mm-hmm. So if it wasn't for like Becca and Maria, I don't know how I would have done it, because that paperwork is wild and what they require. And they tell you, it says one thing on the paper, but then they let you know, like, hey, once you get there, you should probably have this, because they're going to question you on this.
Uh-huh,
like, I would have known that had I not reached out to them and then helped, like, again, mentor me through that process.
Right.
Because I remember when I walked out and I turned in all my paperwork, I just called Maria and I was like, this is intense. And she was just like, but you did it.
Wow.
She's like, you did it, you're good, come home, relax, and you'll get your visa in a few weeks. Like, it's an intense process. And then to just visualize the fact that, like, okay, this means I'm leaving soon. Mm-hmm. It didn't really hit me, I think, until I was in Spain.
Right, it definitely doesn't, I agree, it didn't hit me until I was on the plane, like, leaving Trinidad.
And
I was in shambles, just, like, so torn up over having left my family, because I'd never left my island before. I'd never been away from my family ever until mm-hmm. then. And I just remember, like, wanting to punch the window out of the plane and, like, jump through and just, like, swim home. That's all I wanted to do.
Oh my gosh.
Traumatic.
Yes.
Traumatic.
It really is. Like my mom, she was scared.
Yeah.
She definitely was like, what do you mean you're going to go live in another country far away?
By yourself.
Yeah, by yourself. Like, you know, when she thinks of Mexico, she's like, oh, hell no, you're not going to Mexico by yourself. Like, girl, you go, no. So for her to think of Spain, she was like, oh, even further, you know?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But I told her, I was like, Mom, you know, I know this is scary, but it's something I have to do for myself. And mm-hmm. I'm very grateful, because at least I come from a family where my mom didn't understand, but she supported me.
Good.
Regardless. Versus being like, no, you can't go. I'm going to take this away or that away if you go.
Right. So she didn't make it any harder.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because it was hard, because I have mm-hmm. a little brother at home and I have her at home. So mm-hmm. I know that whatever I do with my life, I know it's for me, but at the end it has to benefit them, because absolutely. I will be their caregiver once I graduate and I make money.
Like, exactly. I know this from the day I was born.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's duty.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, not that anyone told me, but it's just something you do. Like, in our family, it's just something you do.
Yeah, especially, I think in a lot of minority cultures, we're socialized to not believe that.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, how do you take care of your extended family? Because I grew up with my grandma living in our home and my mom always taking care of her. So mm-hmm. in my brain, it's just something you already do.
It's just something you already do. Like, no way in hell I put in my mother in a home.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
That is the unforgivable thing in, like, our culture.
Like, same. Like, you put your mom in a home. Like, come on now. You have hands and feet. You could cook for her. You can take care of her. Totally agree.
Exactly.
But when being on the plane, like, it was fine. Like, because I had traveled before, luckily, I went mm-hmm. to Mexico, and that was actually a culture shock in and of itself.
I bet.
That was definitely different. But, like, being on the plane, I was like, okay, I've been on a plane before. I've traveled before. Like, this ain't too bad. But then, once I was there and I got to the apartment, I was trying to figure everything out, because your life is turned upside down. Like, everything is completely unstable. Like, there's no stability and you just have to roll with it.
Yeah.
And for me, I remember just, like, I found this, like, English TV channel mm-hmm. and it was like English, like, CSI and Castle, like those CSI shows or whatever.
Yeah.
With Spanish subtitles. And I remember I realized it hit me, because I remember I just sit on that couch for 12 hours a day for like a week and a half.
Wow. Just to get some kind of access to something normal.
Exactly.
Something you know.
because when I went outside, it was terrifying.
Oh my God.
It was, I just hated the feeling because they spoke so fast and I was hungry and I was, I don't know how to order. And then the way that they would say like certain meats in Spanish, in Mexico we say it different, or Mexicans here say it differently. Right. So I was like, I don't even know what that is, sir. What is that meat? Is that chicken? Is that tofu? I don't know.
I don't even know how to ask these questions.
Yeah. And my Spanish was, I mean, it was all right. I could communicate, but it wasn't to the level I feel like it is now because it was, I was forced to use it as my
right. You were tool. Immersed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that was really, really tough. But eventually, I think I did little wins every day. It's like, okay, I went outside today. I saw some of the light. Like,
yeah.
Good job. Next time, maybe try going out twice a day.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
You scaffolded.
Yeah. Yeah. Little by little, because it was intense.
Wow.
It was very intense.
I love that. Yeah, that's such a small... I wish I had scaffolded my experience here. I came in and just jumped in. And like, I came in the spring, so I didn't even get like normal orientation in the fall and any of that stuff.
Oh.
I literally like flew, showed up in the dorm Sunday, and it was dead of winter and had to start school Monday.
Oh.
No clue what I was doing. Oh. No clue where I was going. Just... shambles. And
yeah,
I think if somebody had told me take it in steps,
yeah,
you know, yeah, try this first, try right. this next, I think that would have made it much less overwhelming.
Yes,
saved me a lot of tears in those dorms.
Yeah. Yes, because I would see a lot of students who did that,
yeah,
from other countries or from America who were in Spain. They're like, oh, I just showed up Sunday and now I'm in class. How'd y'all do that? I was like, I knew that I need to get my stuff together. I was like, there's no way I'm gonna show up on a Sunday and then go to school Monday. Like,
yeah,
I
yeah.
can't do that. So I planned to be there a week in advance because I was like, there's no way I'm showing up and not knowing what the hell I'm doing.
I
like,
I just somewhat couldn't. Acclimated.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And because the girls told me that of their experience, I was like, okay, I gotta prepare and make sure that my visa is early enough so I can leave early enough to make sure that I can get adjusted to something and figure my way around.
So, right, yeah. Absolutely. And Sam, you're a business major, so you're getting your bachelor's in general business.
Mm-hmm.
How did you decide on this major and how do you feel about it? How is your program going?
Okay, so for general business, it's quite the story. Well, I don't know. We'll see. I came in thinking I want to do psychology or sociology just because it sounded cool. It sounded like a fancy thing to get. But I was undecided for the first 3 years. Like, I would change it to the most randomest things because I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And people kept saying, like, oh, it'll come to you. It'll come. Like, it happens when it's supposed to. And I was like, time's ticking out. Like, come on. Like, I need something. I don't know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So then I took an entrepreneurship course last fall. Because I was like, maybe let's try business. So then I tried business and I was like, marketing. And then I took my intro to marketing class. I was like, oh, you know, maybe not fully marketing. Like, let's see other things. Mm-hmm. So I took this entrepreneurship course with Jeff Street. And it said, come up with an idea and you're going to present it at a pitch off. And that's going to be your final grade. And I was like, okay, cool.
Wow.
So I came up with this whole idea about like makeup and diversity and renewable products and efficiency and all this stuff, eco-friendly, whatever. But I just wasn't sold on the idea. Like, okay. I really did like makeup, and yeah, I would record some videos here and there, but I liked to do it, but it wasn't like what drove me. It didn't make me full.
Yeah.
This is weird, but I was sitting at the desk and I had to, I could chose to present that day, but I didn't. I was like, I don't like this idea. I'm not even selling myself to it. So how am I going to sell the rest of the class to this idea? So then I look down at my pants and I look at my legs because my thighs always rub.
Yeah.
So they're always rubbing. And that means my jeans wear out where my thighs touch. And I've had that ever since I was a little girl. And because I grew up with a single mom and we didn't have money to keep buying me jeans, that she would learn to patch them. So she got really good at patching my jeans. So ever since I was a little girl, I'm just used to having holes in my jeans and getting them patched.
Okay.
So then when I came to college and I met my friend Ceci, she has the same like thigh problem I do, and she's kind of the same body type as me. I was like, oh, it's not just me.
This is a international problem.
Yeah,
this
I was like,
a
oh.
woman problem.
Yeah, I was like, okay. And so then I kind of looked at my jeans like, well, why don't I just reinforce my jeans and make reinforced jeans? So then I was like, I kind of like that idea. And then I sat on it and I talked to my teacher about it. He's like, yeah, go ahead. So then what happened was I ran with the idea. So my whole goal now with this general business, because that's the closest thing that they have like to an entrepreneurship degree here, you know, is I want to make reinforced jeans for women, you know, who thighs do touch, who right. don't have a thigh gap, who have this issue,
uh-huh.
you know, run for larger sizes. And by larger, it's not really because the average American woman is a 16, mm-hmm. 14 to 16, not like a 9 or a 7 as they used to be or whatever.
Right, as the media would always tell
exactly.
us.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So catering to women who are just normal sized women here in
yeah.
the U.S.
Yeah.
And reinforcing their genes so they can last longer. And with that, my initiative is, so the whole goal is to have these genes, right? They're reinforced and mm-hmm. hopefully expand.
Mm-hmm.
Not just from genes, but like shorts and all these different right. other materials and learning to gear it so that they last a little longer in your thigh
yeah.
area.
Yeah.
But also, my goal is, I was like, okay, how can I impact my community? Because that mm-hmm. was my biggest thing. I was like, with the makeup, how am I going to impact my community? So what I'm planning to do is hopefully, when I start this, to make a plant, like a manufacturing plant, somewhere here in Idaho.
Wow.
And if I can employ, like, my friends' mothers or the immigrant community.
Yes.
And give them jobs and then provide them resources with pathways to, like, citizenship or residency uh-huh, or visas. Uh-huh.
Healthcare.
Yeah,
education.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, yes.
If I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I feel like I've lived my purpose in life.
Wow.
And then I was like, okay, but I also have an issue with, like, environment, because that's still something that was really bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay. And my my roommate who was in Spain, her name is Claudia, and she was from Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
She's just like, why don't you add, like, some sort of environmental component? I was like, I'm thinking, but I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, why don't you recycle jeans? Or recycle clothing so it cuts down on the pollution, because clothing pollution is one of the biggest pollutions in the world.
Yeah.
Because clothes are just being made and then thrown away like right. crazy all over landfills.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't disintegrate, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So I was like, okay, if I could reuse the material, or if people bring in their old jeans that rip, if I could, you know, recycle that and then send it to third world countries and give it to people who don't have clothing, then I feel like, okay, that way I'm not just impacting my community, but the world at large.
Yeah.
So if I have those three components and make it a real thing, then I feel like I've done something in life.
Wow. Yes. Yes. I love this plan.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's the goal. That's what I'm hoping to do. So after
wow.
coming back from Spain, it's definitely given me a lot of confidence in myself mm-hmm. to be like, you did it. You lived. Nothing happened. You figured it out.
Right.
So my next goal is like, okay, I moved to Spain. I lived out there. Let me try New York.
Okay.
So it's like another, like, because, I mean, who doesn't go to New York trying to think that, like, oh, this is it. This is where I'm going to make it.
Right.
And for me, I'm looking at it as, like, what can I learn there?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it happens the way I imagine it to be or not. Like, this sounds weird, but I want to fail because I want to learn.
Absolutely.
I want to learn as quick as I
yeah,
can.
Yeah, failing forward.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's my next goal. And I try to put that out because then it keeps me accountable. Like, okay, I'm telling everyone I'm going to move. So
right.
now I kind of have to stick to what I say because
yes.
that's what I've been doing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go to Spain. And I went, oh, I'm going to do these jeans. And I'm trying to do that. So it's kind of like, instead of getting scared and be like imposter syndrome type
mm-hmm.
of thing, I'm like, no, I got to do it. I got to do it because I just have to. I have like so many people riding on me
yes.
that I just don't want to let them down. And ultimately, I don't want to let myself down
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
from like all. Because people are going to judge you regardless. You know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. But I think at the end of the day, if I know the purpose of what I'm doing this for and who I'm fighting for,
mm-hmm.
then everything's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You always remember the mission.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think you hit on something super important. You know, it's the power of spoken intention. There is something about verbally articulating
mm-hmm.
this is my goal and this is what I want and this is how I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
That helps you manifest that reality.
Yeah.
You
it
have
really
to
do.
Put it out into the world. You have to create that energy.
Exactly. And say yes to it. Because
yes.
I remember like with the Spain thing, I was like, I'm gonna go. And sure enough, I figured it out and I put it out there and I went. Like, and it's kinda like a checklist for me when I look
mm-hmm.
back of all the things, like, you know, people said I wouldn't make it in college. People said, like, my own family told me I wouldn't make it in college, you know. My own family told me it was a bad idea going to Spain. Friends, families, you know, like, don't go, it's a bad idea. And, like, I've done it all, I've survived, like, look.
Right.
Like, I did it. And then it just makes you realize, like, wow, their opinions don't matter. It's the opinion of myself.
Exactly.
And if I'm doing it for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. I mean, you always have to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be times when you just want to give up. And,
yeah.
you know, it's easy to listen to everybody around you.
Yeah.
You know, and just buy into, like, all of that discourse.
Yeah.
But you really have to be that type of intentional person
mm-hmm.
and be determined and be specific about what you say and mean what you say. Yeah. So many people just have all these ideas and like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And they never really get around to it. But no, like really focus on what you mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think there was this thing that like my mentor, Amanda, she showed me, and it was a video and it's like, know your purpose or something.
Yeah.
And there was this man who was singing like a gospel hymn or something. Mm-hmm. And he was singing it and it was beautiful. And then the guy who was a presenter, he's like, now sing it like if your brother just died. Sing it as if you just lost somebody who you love dearly. And the way he changed, the way he sang that song was even that much more fulfilling. It was so beautiful. And the point of that video was just like, know your why. Know your purpose. Because it changes what you're doing. You're doing the same thing, but it just gives you another little oomph.
Right, yeah, exactly. Changes the flavor of all your actions.
Exactly.
There's kind of this alignment that happens naturally among everything you do from that point on.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, that's what I was waiting for in college, is like, why am I here? What am I doing? What is my purpose? Is this even possible to come up with something from nothing? But I was like, no, yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, so there was a sister who was up at U of I who sent me an email, a link to apply to this scholarship for a Forbes conference. And she's like, just apply. You're a student. You know, you're going to graduate soon. Just apply. You never know. You might get accepted. So I applied and I was like, you know, never thought anything of it. But I my brother, my baby brother, he's 5. Mm-hmm. He was sitting next to me. He was watching me. He's like, what are you doing? And I was like, you know what, bro? I'm working on something that will hopefully help us out.
Wow.
And then he's like, okay. You know, obviously that didn't answer everything, but that's the shortest way I could explain to him what I was doing. And I was like, okay, Sam, just give it your best. Just believe that whatever you're writing and mean it. Mm-hmm. And I did. And I got accepted.
Wow. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Wow. And for me, it was just like, I remember when I got the email, I was at that sister's house in Burley with her actual biological sister, who are also sisters of the sorority.
Nice.
And I just started crying because every single time that just a good thing, a good win happens, I'm just so emotional because I just feel so lucky and so blessed that I get to be part of that space where it's not made for us.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
100% agree.
And to make my way through that. And then I started seeing like, who was the speakers and like this event? I'm like, what is this event? Like, I hear Forbes and people's like, ooh, that's the money place, the money magazine. And I was like, yo, Serena Williams is going to speak there.
Wow. Like, it's so much more than that.
I was like, how did I come over here? And I was like, and I don't like the attention on me. I really don't. That's why I like the jeans thing, because the attention isn't on me. It's the product, right? Yeah. And I'm fighting for something through something, because I don't really like attention. I don't like people like being like, yes, Sam, get it. Like, I'm still getting comfortable with the idea of like celebrating myself, even though you should. I'm
and
still
occupying that public space.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
But seeing that, I was like, it was another thing like, see, you can do it. If you just have the right mindset, you can do it. And I was like, damn. So now that I'm going to go, you know, in October, I'm like, wow. Like how doors just open up. Like after going through this experience in Spain where a lot of it was super difficult and very sad. But the fruit of that comes out of that is just like unimaginable.
Right.
Unimaginable.
Wow. Just had just a huge, huge impact on your confidence.
Yeah.
Just how you even perceive yourself.
Exactly.
Your own abilities.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it all just kind of builds on each other, you know? I feel like you do a really good job, but as you said, setting those little goals and being intentional. And then every time you conquer one, it's so much easier from there.
Yeah.
To like step it up and like conquer the next dragon.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So like definitely Spain has been everything to me. And it's also, especially with like communication, you know, being president for LTA, you know, being over there, I was physically alone all the time. So being here and being in a group setting and having to run an organization and to deal with all these different personalities and opinions and things, I thought I was like, oh, I can't do this. But being here, like that experience has made me be a better leader for them.
Wow.
And to be able to be empathetic and to just understand them. So I can run this and move us towards the goals we're having as an organization, as a group, as a chapter. So it really has helped me in almost every aspect of my life.
Wow. It trickles down.
It really does.
It trickles down
from the
smallest thing to the biggest thing in your life. Yeah, absolutely. Sam, what advice would you give to maybe a younger version of yourself? Maybe somebody, you know, living in Burley, in some little town in Idaho, you know, going through some of the things you went through, what would you tell them? What would you have told yourself?
You know, I actually thought about that the other day mm-hmm. because I remember, I was trying to remember what I felt when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember what I felt was that I was not important mm-hmm. and that my story had no value. Mm-hmm. That I was just kind of a mix, that I was kind of like a blob. I didn't stand out. Nothing was unique about me or anything
right.
or what I had to think or say.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me so sad that I felt that way for a lot of my childhood. Not because my mom made me feel that way, but just like the environment I was in.
Yeah.
You know, it's a small town. Everyone's very close-minded. You're not exposed to different things, right? But if I had to tell myself anything, it's to never give up. It's to never give up.
Yeah.
And that there is more. I always knew there was more, but I didn't know how. And
to
I didn't
access
know,
it.
I didn't know how to get it. I don't know what it meant, what it looked like, what it tasted like.
Right.
But I felt like there was something in my ear that told me there was more.
Yeah. So, like natural curiosity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for me, if I could just turn around and look at myself, it's just to be like, one, be more open-minded.
Yeah.
And two, don't give up and don't listen to what others have to say. Because
right.
I listened to what everyone else had to say besides what I thought. So that would be my biggest thing, is to not give up and to listen to yourself.
Yeah. Your voice is louder than everyone else's. And we live in a world where there's just so much information.
So much.
So many opinions. Everybody's basically trying to control everybody else.
Yes.
Right? And make their world everyone's world. And it's easy to, drown your own voice out. It's easy to just mm-hmm. lose that sense of individuality.
Yeah.
Right? That sense of, what are my intentions? What are my dreams? How mm-hmm. do I see this world? And what does this world need from me?
Exactly. And
yeah.
seeing it that way. What does this world need
from
me?
Mm-hmm.
Versus what does the world owe me?
Exactly. Exactly. Or what I want to do to the world.
Exactly.
You know, you have to kind of step back for a second and, listen.
Yeah.
Look around you. See where that gap is, see
yes.
where those needs are, and
mm-hmm.
then you make your moves from there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's also seeing, a lot of people I see from where I come from, it's
mm-hmm.
That they feel the world owes them something,
yes.
but the world doesn't owe anyone a damn thing.
No, nope, nope, nope.
We are part, all of us are part of this world. If we all do one thing to make it better,
mm-hmm.
just one,
mm-hmm.
how that trickles throughout the world.
Right, and the ripple effect,
yeah.
the butterfly effect is real.
Yeah, exactly.
This conversation we're having now is going to trigger something in somebody somewhere
right.
to do something really cool that will trigger
right.
somebody else.
Exactly.
And that's how it is. It's a chain reaction.
Exactly.
We're all interconnected.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And traveling, getting outside of your experiences, you know, I think the point when you really understand how similar we are is when you encounter something so different from you and you can still recognize the commonality.
Exactly. That, yes, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Because when I came back from Spain,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I want to go to counseling because they have counseling service here at
mm-hmm.
ISU.
And it's phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. It's
mm-hmm.
the best thing ever. And
mm-hmm.
I started going before I went to Spain because
mm-hmm.
I would always tell my friends oh, you guys need to go to counseling. But I would talk the talk but never walk the walk.
Right.
I was no, I'm going to be saying this to my friends and I need to do it myself
yes.
for myself. So I started going, best experience of my life. Love my counselor. She's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Came back from Spain, met with her, but then she's like, why don't you try group counseling now?
Mm-hmm.
Now that you've a little bit more stable. And I was
Ooh.
Like, okay. So I've been doing that.
Okay.
And that is the biggest thing that I'm taking away is that we may all be so different in that room. I'm the only Latina in that room.
Uh-huh.
Right? Regardless of that, I can relate to every single person's pain.
Mm-hmm.
I feel what they feel, even though they did not grow up the same way I did,
mm-hmm.
financially, racially. Their pain, I feel.
Yeah.
And they feel mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been the biggest aha moment for me is
wow.
Every time I walk past someone that I feel like we're so different, I was like, we're so much more alike than we think.
Right. This is all an illusion.
It's all
an
illusion.
All of these physical differences.
Exactly.
It's just an illusion.
It really is mm-hmm. because you cry when you are in pain. I cry when I'm in pain. I feel your pain. I feel for you.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's been the biggest thing, coming back from Spain and having those experiences and then sharing it with the group that they may not have felt the same things, but they have a different experience that they still connect to that pain somehow.
Yeah.
So to me, I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Totally agree. We're so much more alike than we are different.
Right. Exactly. So we have to break out of this mindset.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have to just really strive to see the similarities and just have more empathy for each other.
Yeah.
And just love each other and love ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why is that so hard?
Yeah, honestly. Learning to love yourself, like, after coming back from Spain, that's one of the biggest things. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never felt this peace and happiness that I feel right in this moment.
I sense it. Mm-hmm.
Then I haven't felt that for so many years. So now that I have it, I'm like, no one's going to take that away from me.
No.
Because it is the best feeling in life.
Yeah.
Because it's not saying that everything's going to be positive and daisies and roses, but knowing that whatever does happen, I'm going to be okay.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to live between these spaces. Mm-hmm. Yes. Be present. Be open to everything.
Yes.
Welcome the pain. Welcome the happiness.
Exactly.
It's all part of being human, and it's amazing.
Exactly.
It's a gift to be here.
Yes. Every morning, I really do. I wake up and I was like, I'm so lucky to be here.
Yeah. And it just sets you up for the best day.
It really does. Yeah. It really does.
Yeah. Oh, this is so amazing, Sam.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, so happy you were in the studio with me. I'm just so looking forward to having you back on. And we can talk about some more fun things.
Yes, I would love to. Down to the nitty gritty. I would love that.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Christoph.
ASISU Speaks with Christoph Kasun, airing every Tuesday at 7 p.m. through the academic school year here on KISU. Find an audio archive of all past episodes at kisu.org. Click on Programs and ASISU Speaks. Coming up next, it's All Songs Considered from National Public Radio.